Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I always feel awkward talking over this music. Also, nothing I could possibly say is cooler than this music. So awesome. I just said to Isaac, and apparently Tom said the same thing to him, though I didn't hear Tom say it, that we need to have a new Star Wars open based on the new flicks, whether it be The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi. There's some really good one-liners in The Last Jedi. In fact, I had this whole debate with a friend of mine. And again, I don't want to give things away because it's still pretty early. I had a whole debate recently with a friend of mine about the one-liners that Luke delivers in The Last Jedi. And I love the humor. I think it's awesome. I like seeing that kind of old guy get off my lawn side of Luke because it's been, what, 30 years since we saw him? And I thought he was funny. I mean, there were times in the movie when I laughed out loud. My favorite line, and I'm not going to give away the context, my favorite one-liner, I should say, from the entire movie is, "They hate that ship." But I'm not going to tell you what it means. If you haven't seen it, well, I can't possibly spoil it yet.
I'll show you the dark side.
Yes, I know that you will try, although you need to put your shirt on to do it. Another odd scene with Kylo Ren that you think, what
wow,
is he
good
doing?
Memory.
Good memory. How could, I mean, I've only seen it once, although I do have plans to go see it again next Tuesday. In my town, there is a rule. Any movie on Tuesdays is only $7, no matter what showing you see. And so a friend of mine has not seen it yet, and we're going to see it on Tuesday. And I will have to go see it early in case there's some big sporting event going on later. But yeah, we're really excited. And I can't wait to see it again because
you got jacked for that role.
As much as I loved it the first time, there's always so much more that you see it in, you know, in multiple viewings of it. So I'm excited to see it again. So yeah, Isaac needs to work on his new Star Wars opens. But if you want to hear the light side open, the, you know, montage, they're both on our YouTube channel, the dark side and the light side, going way back to the beginning when we first put our YouTube channel online. So there's a lot of good stuff in there, like me rapping. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I can give you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Isaac, don't do it. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. Facebook page 2. I see producer Tom has put up a show poll about a couple of the hot-to-trot young incoming QBs. Incoming! Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. There are others. I still continue to hear a lot about Josh Allen out of Wyoming, though his second half of the season and against the tougher competition, he struggled. Let's just face it, he struggled. And so there's a lot of raw talent. There's a lot of projects in this NFL draft, but there are a ton of teams who need quarterbacks, which means there will be teams selecting these projects at quarterback and hoping that they can get them ready sooner rather than later. And at the very top, extremely intriguing, the Browns and the Giants. In the Browns pick again at number 4. So with John Dorsey now as the general manager, I can't imagine him trading out of that spot. But that's just me. We'll see how it works out. That's so far down the road. Between now and then, we obviously have playoffs. So many playoffs. My niece, Lauren, doesn't know much about football. She likes to watch it with me, but she doesn't ever watch it on her own. She sent me a text on Wednesday morning, and she had just gone back to school. And so I was asking her about her calculus test. And her response was, well, it went okay. And she said, how's work and football? And she's so cute. My response was, well, we got 3 big days coming up. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's going to be awesome to have the wild card weekend games, two doubleheaders, and then, of course, the college football national championship in Atlanta. Falcons are on the road for their playoff game. Who are the dark horses that you see in the NFL playoffs? And I don't know that I'd call the Eagles a dark horse only because they're the number one seed in the NFC, though they are without Carson Wentz, their MVP. But the fact is they haven't been in the postseason since 2013 either. So Saints and Eagles have been out of it since 2013. The Rams, not since 03. The Jaguars, it's been a decade. They haven't won a division title since the last time the Bills were in the playoffs. And the Titans, we just talked about with Johnny Franks from Nashville. Great station, by the way. They always are really supportive of our show. And we appreciate WNSR in Nashville carrying After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of Nick Foles, there's even been some discussion about whether or not Doug Peterson might bench him if the interceptions are there. And we know there's, this is too simplistic, but we know there's a light side and a dark side to Nick Foles. When he is not turning the ball over, he really can be good. I mean, he's the opposite of Carson Wentz. This is not a guy who moves around with a ton of moxie. He doesn't throw on the run. He's not going to beat you with his legs. But back in 2013, when he was the starting QB for the Eagles, he had a fantastic touchdown to interception ratio. And in that one playoff game the Eagles had where they lost to the New Orleans Saints, the final score was 26-24. I'm not going to give you any of the details. You can tweet me if you remember any of the details. It was disappointing for the Eagles, to be sure. It was a close game. Anyway, Foles was 23 of 33. I had to look this up. I didn't remember this. 23 of 33 for 195 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He did not turn the ball over. Now, the Eagles lost. They did have a couple of turnovers. It just wasn't interceptions by Nick Foles. And he was talking about that one playoff game. That's his experience on Wednesday.
I've had time this week because it has been a whirlwind. Lots gone on these last couple of weeks. And I've had time to sort of reflect, think about me then, playing in that game, what that season was like, playing in the playoff game, the atmosphere, the visualization of it all. Because that's important because it's going to be here before we know it. And I just know the speed of the game. But also, like, the key is to get in the zone, get into the rhythm of the offense, play, because then that's when everything slows down. So that's the key, and that all starts with preparation. But absolutely, like, I go back to that moment because not many players get the opportunity to play in the playoffs, and it's a awesome thing. It's a really awesome thing to play at home, especially in the link.
He makes a good point. Don't take it for granted. Not everybody gets a chance to do it. There are a lot of players that, even if they get there once, never get back. And so I like that attitude. I was just saying to the guys when we were listening to him, he reminds me of Brock Osweiler, the kind of aw shucks and how everything is exciting and everything's great and you really look forward to it and it's one of the top 3 days of my life. Okay, that was Osweiler. But anyway, it's just about which Foles will we see. Now, Peterson has said he is going to be the starter. I just don't think you ask him to do too much. You rely on your defense. The special teams has won games for Philly this year. You have a run game. Use it. You've got two backs who are different. Make sure that they get a lot of touches and that the defense can't, and obviously they have this week off, but the defense, whoever it is that they play, can't pigeonhole or guess what it is that you're going to do. I mean, he doesn't have to win the game for you. This is not Aaron Rodgers. You don't want him to be throwing interceptions because that immediately is just a punch to the gut. But you also don't need him to win the game for you. They've got other guys that they can rely on. And so, yeah, the game plan is going to be interesting. Peterson did say that they're trying to tailor it for Foles a little bit. So they've got this extra time, this bye week, because he is so much the antithesis of Carson Wentz, except that they're both starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'll give him my paycheck.
You can give me your paycheck. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Chris is listening in California. Chris, welcome to After Hours. Who's a dark horse that you see in the postseason?
You know, I try to look at it like betting on horses. I like something that's going to give me a good number. I don't like taking the number one team because they always lose or something, you know. But I think Atlanta, I'm looking at Atlanta. They're, what, 25, 20 to 1 dogs? you know, the way with all these injuries and the stars and the moons align, I think that they can get in because it's going to be hard for a team to beat you three times, talking about the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Not worried about the Eagles. The Rams are who we thought they were. They're choke artists. They you know,
are
they?
This far, they what makes you think that? Why this version of the Rams being choke artists?
You know what? It's the fact that, you know, they have a high-level play. They're a good team. I'm a 49er fan. And my cousin's, you know, Rams fan. And just that Sammy Watkins is going to drop a ball, kind of like a Crabtree type thing maybe. They're just going to have a hiccup or two. And you know what? They're going to get caught maybe this weekend too. I think the Rams are vulnerable. People just want to think it's a walkover just because they, you know.
I don't know who people are. I've heard no one say it's a walkover, but I'm not sure that you can pigeonhole this group of Rams because it's a completely different group of Rams. I mean, they have nothing to do with the Rams of St. Louis or the Rams of old. I mean, so many of their guys are new, but also the defense has been so much better under Wade Phillips, and Sean McVay has changed the offense. They're not a team that has to rely on Todd Gurley, which last year he was constantly getting stuffed because he was the only thing they had. I don't know. I'm not sure where you're coming up with that, why they would be choke artists, or what makes you think that the Rams can't win this game simply based on their past.
So they can, but I just think that they're going to have to say they're going to have a couple. You know, the quarterback's going to have a little hot beat. Goff has had that, even going back to Cal when he was at Cal in big games, he didn't perform.
Okay. I mean, I guess that if once you pigeonhole somebody, you pigeonhole them. That's it. So you're saying then that it's not going to be a number one team and the stars and the moons have to align for whom?
Atlanta. I'm talking about the Falcons.
Got it.
They were just so close. And you know what? It's one thing about, you know, the playoffs, it's about getting hot during the playoffs. We can be hot during the whole regular season and you're not going to get hot in the playoffs. Something's going to happen. You know, so if they could start that journey where it snowballs and things could happen, the Atlanta offense could warm up. Even though it hasn't happened yet, right now is the time. I mean, it could be a coin flip either way, but I'm just thinking that all the dark horses, that would be something that would actually have, you know, a little behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that they've got the personnel on the offensive side of the ball, to be sure. I kept wondering all season long why they weren't more consistent because they do have the weapons. And I fail to understand why you take the ball out of the hands of Devontae Freeman, Julio Jones, who at times does see double teams. But Mohamed Sanu is another really good receiver. They've got many options and yeah, just at times it felt like they went out of their way to make things complicated when they didn't need to. So, Chris, we'll see. I'm not sure. Is Atlanta a dark horse? Is that a yay or a nay? Would you say Atlanta is a dark horse? They are a wild card, but I don't know that they're a dark horse. But I guess if you think they are, I mean, they're not a favorite, that's for sure. So I guess the opposite then would be a dark horse or an underdog. So you can check out our show poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's about the college QBs, Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, or is there another one that impresses you, what you've seen, what you've heard? Maybe you know nothing and you just want to play along and take the poll. That'd be fine, too. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, but NFL Dark Horses and... I think Central Florida has the right idea. Did you hear what the Knights are doing to celebrate what was an undefeated season? We'll get to that coming up next. Also, Kyrie Irving facing his former team, this time in Boston. Isaiah Thomas getting back to Boston for the first time. So a lot to do this hour, as well as your calls and your tweets, A-Law Radio. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Well, hello to you too, full phone lines. It's because we're doing a bomb cyclone. A cyclone bomb? Wait, what's it called? No, bomb cyclone of a show. Oh my gosh, I have to laugh at the number of expert meteorologists that have found me on Twitter, some to lambaste me for not knowing about bomb cyclones or for pronouncing bombogenesis wrong or something else. Hey, not my department. I was just merely pointing out that it is actually a thing and that I had never heard about it until Wednesday. But it means snow. It means a whole ton of wind. It means there's some freaking cold air to come. I got a couple of texts from a friend of mine in Florida who said they were dealing with snow, which I find really interesting. I have friends in Georgia who don't even have winter coats. Maybe that's changed over the past few weeks when they've had to deal with some colder air too. But yeah, this is a weather event that's affecting a good portion of the South and the East Coast. So I hope that you stay as warm as possible. I'm making plans to stay indoors as much as possible Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But it's not 100% because my dog doesn't matter. She doesn't care at all. The cold doesn't matter to her at all. All right, so you're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our phone number, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by Geico. There is some great news. A quick way you can save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. I did it. I do save a lot of money on my car insurance over the past couple of years. So yeah, 855-212-4227. Sean is in Ohio. Sean, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, I want to talk about the dark horse. I like the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, I think, I know late in the season they have number one defense in the NFL, and, you know, defense travels well, and then they can run the ball. Blake Bortles, you know, he put together a nice little run late in the season, and I just like that team. I just like how they play defense. I like how they run the ball. And I also like the Rams. And as far as the Rams being a choke artist, I don't know what they choked on, but I like that team. Wade Phillips, he's going to dial something up for the Atlanta Falcons, and I like that team. I mean, they're at the top, near the top in the offense, and they're at the top in defense. So those are my two teams. I don't know if you're going to call the Rams a dark horse, but I do like the Rams.
I mean, I feel like the fact that they haven't been there in 15 years or been in the playoffs in 15 years is a huge deal. There's a lot of them that are going through it for the first time. But I'm a huge Wade Phillips apologist, especially when it comes to the defense. This is why Sean McVay brought him on board, so he could focus on the offense and he could give that responsibility for the defense to Phillips. In addition, Phillips brings all of that. I mean, everything that's ever happened on a football field, Wade Phillips has been through it. He's a lifer. I mean, he's 70, 71 now, I think. But the guy has not only been on Super Bowl teams, both wins and losses, but he's coached pretty much every kind of defense there is. So I'm a fan of Wade Phillips, and I know that that kind of is the yin to the yang of Sean McVay. I will say this about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I would agree with you about their defense. Something that jumps out at me, though, is that the first 14 games of the season, all right, so one of the big reasons that they had such a great defense, a highly ranked defense, was because they were plus 15 in turnover margin. Their last two games, which were both losses, they're minus five. So that's a huge disparity there. They turned the ball over too much and didn't produce turnovers toward the end of the season. Now, they already have the AFC South. It's theirs. It's locked up. You can't always put a lot of stock into what you see toward the end of the year. But they need to win the turnover battle. I think that's a huge key to their success.
Yeah, and I did know about that many turnovers. Yeah, that's not good late in the season. But, yeah, I'm still going to roll with them, man. I'm rooting for Jacksonville. I'm on that Jacksonville Jaguar bandwagon. I like to see them go far.
There you go.
Maybe challenge. Yeah. And then one other thing, I'm a Browns fan. I love the Browns. 0-16. I still love them. I'm not attending the march, though. I mean the parade. But I still love the Browns, so I just want to throw that out there.
All right. Well, no one's worried. And in fact, anyone recognizes your voice, I guess they could wonder if you were bandwagon jumping, but we'll keep your secret.
All right.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. Thank you.
Ben is listening in Green Bay. Ben, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio. Who's your dark horse?
I would say that my dark horse has got to be, Minnesota. Is, as much as I hate saying it, you know, Minnesota, to me, the whole – I think any one of the six teams could go all the way. I mean, I don't think that there's a dominant one team or another. I think that any one of them on any given game could all beat each other. But for me, I guess I've said it for years and years and years with the Packers about getting rid of Dom Capers. Defense wins championships. And, you know, if you don't have the defense to do to go far into the season, you know, when you got to rely on your offense constantly, it runs out of gas. And for me, the Vikings, they seem to have just enough parts in place for, you know, their offense, but their defense is nothing to joke about. So I guess the Vikings are my dark horse. You know, my second pick would probably be the Rams. I couldn't disagree more with the guy from San Francisco enough. But either way, it's probably going to have to go through Pittsburgh or New England as far as who, whatever team in the NFC is going to be facing. And again, defense wins championships in my humble opinion.
All right, sir. Well, I certainly know, we all know that Mike Zimmer's calling card is defense. And even when the offense hasn't been there, the defense has. I love the little engine that could mentality of Case Keenum. He's steady Eddie kind of a guy. He's got a real good rapport with the other members of the offense. He's been so solid for them and kind of the glue in addition to that defense. So, yeah, the Vikings being able to host a game too, having a week off, being able to host a game. Also kind of interesting, Sam Bradford just returned to practice. I mean, I doubt that he factors into their playoff plans, at least right now. But just interesting that he has finally gotten back on the football field. So, yeah.
Right.
I don't even know if you'd call the Vikings a dark horse, but I certainly agree with you about their defense.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Ben, thanks so much for tuning in from Green Bay. Stay warm.
Yes, ma'am. Bye.
855-212-4227. That's our phone number. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Facebook page is always open and available for you as well. So thanks for finding us on whatever social media platform that you do. We'll continue with your phone calls coming up. I love that you're all amped up to talk about the NFL. And I got to tell you about how Central Florida is celebrating their 13-0 season, because I think it's cool. That's straight ahead. We're coming to you from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
As I'm asking you about NFL dark horses, feels like a good time to run, Alvin, run. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, 1-2 punch. The veteran and the rookie, the first running back duo in NFL history to each have at least 1,500 yards from scrimmage in the same year. First duo in the history of the league at the running back position to each record 1,500 yards from scrimmage in a single season. Amazing. So for me, the Saints are a very real dark horse. I know it's been 5 years since they've been in the playoffs, but certainly the experience of Sean Payton, his coaching staff, as well as the Drew Brees, who, you know, is not a slouch. That's the incredible part, is that so much attention is focused on Kamara and Ingram that people forget how good Drew Brees is and how he can hit the hole and how this guy has such a quick release and is so precise and accurate. And Michael Thomas, 1,000-yard wide receiver who's turned into a legit number one target. So they are dangerous, but the defense is as well. I said the same thing about the Eagles. They have a variety of ways that they win games. The defense has done a whole lot of that this season. Really impressive to watch them work. And at the Superdome, they can be pretty locked in with that home field advantage. So the Saints are a team, to me, that is a real dark horse. They'll be hosting the Panthers, and obviously therein lies the crux, is that the Panthers are not intimidated. The Panthers have, you know, no part of them that will be flummoxed or will be distracted by the atmosphere. They've got some recent playoff experience as well, and they've got a former NFL MVP and Cam Newton. He was responding to the media on Wednesday. Boy, Cam loves these media sessions. And he was asked about whether or not he plans on protecting himself more, staying in the pocket, not running the ball as much.
That's my edge. And I wouldn't expect you or anybody else to take it away. And when I say you, I mean in the media as a whole. I'm comfortable running the football. I feel like I help the team when I'm running the football. And as long as I'm playing this game, I will run the football.
I mean, that part I like. I like the fact that he's saying this is what gives me an edge. And it does. It gives him an advantage. But, I mean, who cares what the media thinks? And first of all, and second of all, who would tell him to give up running the football in the media? And why would he even listen to that? Sometimes I just think he lets it get under his skin a little bit too much. But whatever. The end of that is the critical part. You know.
Media.
The part where he says, it gives me an edge. I like running the football. As long as I play football, I will be running the ball. I mean, that's Cam Newton. That's straight from the horse's mouth. And so they have playoff experience. They've obviously gone into the Superdome once a year, every year that Cam's been in the league. This is an NFC South rivalry. But it's difficult to beat a team three times in 1 year. I mean, let's face it, that's a tall task because there's not a whole lot of surprises. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. Who's your dark horse in these NFL playoffs? And on Twitter, A-Law Radio, go ahead and take our show poll about Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, two QBs who are leaving school early to declare for the NFL draft, but also Baker Mayfield, who's finished up his eligibility and will be in this draft too. Which one of these prospects do you find the most impressive? What you've seen, what you've heard, what you know of them. And if there's another one, well, there's an other option. Just send us your name by tweeting back. And I've seen some of you with Josh Allen. I mean, I don't think that he's lost any momentum in the eyes of NFL scouts, but I think the conversation around him has maybe dropped off a bit because Wyoming struggled against its tougher opponents, and he struggled too. I mean, the whole team struggled. The team is not very good, and he's kind of a diamond in a rough. And so that's maybe where the narrative and the conversation has dropped off about Allen compared to Rosen or Darnold. Okay, let's go back to the phones here. Dan is listening in South Bend. Dan, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to talk about the Saints. I'm a huge Saints fan. I've been with the Saints since Kenny Stabler, which is way back. But I guess what worries me about him is I know they got this great defense, but if you look at the last two or three games, they probably had picked the ball off or whatever like three times, and the offense just doesn't seem to be scoring off of that. And I don't know why. I'm not real sure about that. Well, but if you look at the last few games, they've had the turnover ratio, but they haven't really done a lot with it.
I mean, toward the end, they clinched, what, 2 weeks ago, I think? So yeah. Toward the end of the season, they've obviously had Alvin Kamara sit out for some time, too, which takes away, you know, a weapon.
Right.
I don't put too much stock in the end, though. Of course, they were still trying to win the AFC South. But, yeah, this past week, there were stretches where they looked all right against the Bucs, and then there were stretches where you thought they're not capitalizing on their opportunities. And, for sure, their defense gave up that late touchdown to Jameis Winston. I kind of feel like the intensity, the bar is raised in the playoffs and everybody comes to work. And so what you saw at the end of the season, same thing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's not as though they don't have a recent motivation as to, hey, this is what we need to do better. This is where we need to really be disciplined. I have faith in them because body of work is still what we've seen, a double figure win team and the champs of a division that's got three playoff teams.
All right. Well, I hope you're right. So, all right. Go Saints. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for listening in South Bend, Dan. Ray is in Eugene, Oregon. Ray, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I'm calling from Eugene, Oregon, and we're Mighty Ducks fans here and, you know, former home of Chip Kelly going to USC.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that goes. And we're waiting for him to get his butt back here so we can beat his butt here in Eugene. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think that's fun to have him back in college, back in the Pac-12. Really familiar. Well, he's familiar, but also teams and schools are familiar with him.
Well, I think that's where he belongs, is back in the college ranks, and I think he'll do well there. And so as far as dark horses, you know, I think, you know, of course, the first thing I think about is the Kansas City Chiefs. And more importantly for a Duck fan is the Titans with Mariota.
Yeah. So I would agree with you that the Titans are a huge dark horse. And I talked about that with our guests from Nashville in the first hour. But why would you say the Chiefs are? The Chiefs have been, I'll have to go back and look, in terms of their playoffs, though, what they've been able to accomplish over the last several years. I don't know that I'd call them a dark horse.
Well, in a dark horse sense, I think that, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the big plays. You know, and I think that they don't have the big play. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I don't know that they can get it done. You know, I hearken back to the gentleman who was talking about the Rams. And, you know, I think, you know, even though the Rams, you know, who are my epitome of my favorite team, you know, I'm 57 years old and I go back to some great years with the Rams and them coming back to L.A., there's some wonderful things on the horizon for the Rams. And I think they're going to go a long ways.
Well, good. I'm glad that you have confidence. I'm excited to see what they can do on the playoff stage. As I talk about, I really think the key is some of these guys like a Wade Phillips and a couple of his, you know, his veteran defenders who can think – In any game, give the pass rush, make sure that it's there, put pressure on opposing quarterbacks, but also keep them close. When you have a defense that can put a pressure on a quarterback that can be that ferocious, I believe that you're never really out of any game. Now, the Falcons can put up points in bunches, to be sure, but the LA fans have embraced the Rams now, and I like the fact that they've sold a ton of tickets for this game. I think it's odd or a little quirky, I should say, that you know they're hosting their first playoff game back in Los Angeles in someone else's stadium, but that's the one they call home, and we know LA likes winners, and I've heard they've sold a ton of tickets, so yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what they do, but you know what, there's no shortcut to experience, and that's something that a lot of them do not have. Thank you so much for your phone call. Going back to the Chiefs, I remember now talking about it in the 2015 playoffs. They won their first postseason game since the mid-90s. I mean, it had been forever that the Chiefs had actually won a game. Not that they hadn't been there. They'd been in the playoffs. They just hadn't been able to win that game. It was a similar refrain to, say, the Cincinnati Bengals or the Detroit Lions and how long it's been since those two teams have won a playoff game. They did have that victory. Remember the game against the Houston Texans that they shut them out 30-0? Crap, who was the quarterback? Was it was Ryan Fitzpatrick? No, who was the quarterback when they threw the 5 interceptions in that game, the Texans? Oh my gosh, it's going to drive me nuts until I remember. It wasn't Brandon Whedon. Who was it that threw all those picks? That was a game in which they had a ton of turnovers, and it was about the quarterback, and it was so awful. And gosh. Okay, so anyway, they won that game 30-0, and then they went on to the New England Patriots and lost that game in New England. And so that was the 2015 postseason. But they've been in the playoffs now every year but one, going back to 13, and even going back to 2010. You're talking about 5 playoff appearances now going back to 2010, which is is it indicative of how they've turned it around since they were 2-14, since then, the 15, 16, 17 playoffs. But yeah, making a good point, you got to have a signature win. And the Texans were in a position where we knew their quarterback play was hideous. And the Chiefs took advantage. They get to host this playoff game, which is huge because Arrowhead Stadium is a great advantage for them. And I look forward to seeing, oh, it was Hoyer, right? It was Brian Hoyer. That's who it was. Okay, got it. I knew it would come to me. Sorry, Ryan Fitzpatrick. So the Texans maybe were easy prey there because of their quarterback situation. So they need to get a signature win here, and then people may start to consider them as more of a contender. Let's talk to Randy, who's in Miami. Randy, you got about 60 seconds. Welcome to After Hours.
Awesome. Hey, Amy. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So, I mean, listen to this. How does the Saints go against the Patriots in the Super Bowl? I mean, just like the future in NFL with Ave Kamara, Ingram, Michael Thomas go against the NFL's pride and joy, Tom Brady. Like
the whole NFL, the whole NFL's pride and joy.
No. Just what the media makes them out to be.
Us media, you know? We all think with the same brain. There isn't anyone out there that ever says anything negative about Tom Brady, right? Nobody.
Yeah, well, you can't. I mean, you can. You know. I mean, but at the same time, it's like I'm not a fan of like I'm born and raised in Miami, but not a Dolphins fan. Not anything. I'm a fan of good football. You know, so I want to see good football.
Well, then how can you not be a fan of Tom Brady? So you're blasting the media, but if you're a fan of good football, how can you not be a fan of Brady?
No, never said I was not a fan of Tom Brady, but want to see the future in NFL go against the pride of joy of the NFL, you know, which is Alvin Kamara against Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not on the field at the same time. But I would also say, look at Drew Brees. I mean, Drew Brees is as accomplished outside of the Super Bowl, multiple Super Bowl wins. But Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer, over 70,000 yards passing. Only three guys have ever done that. I mean, this guy's a stalwart. He's led the NFL, four of the last six seasons in terms of passing? So when you're talking about the new versus the old, position by position, we're talking about two of the greats. Randy, thank you so much for listening in Miami. The media never criticizes Tom Brady. We all speak the same. In fact, we have a script. It's handed out to us. There are only so many things that we're allowed to say about Tom Brady. We can't say anything else. You have to stick to the script because the NFL then will crack down on you.
It's chiseled into a tablet.
Two of them, actually. All right, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Who are your NFL dark horses? And I promise, Central Florida story coming up next, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.